Try that. Good morning. I could leave this down and show a picture of Tom Brady. Because I know a lot of you want to get out of here on time to watch football today. So I'll try to get you out of here on time. By the way, Tom Brady is Amy Pike's favorite quarterback. He did pass Joe Montana for the most amount of TD passes by a quarterback. Yeah, that's right. Probably half of you don't know who Tom Brady is. He's a quarterback for the New England Patriots. What was that? Huh? That's good. Oh, boy. Thank you guys. Thank goodness we know the Bible better than that. So we'll try to get out of here on time today. But I just share just a little bit about what I've been up to the last 30 hours. I drove approximately 1,000 miles round trip to go on a wild goose chase. It lived up to its name. So I had the great privilege of being drawn to go on my first guided hunt for wild geese. And when we showed up, they told us about how amazing it was the day before. Have you ever seen the movie Endless Summer? When they said, you should have been here yesterday. So what happened is they told us all about it and how it was just, it was epic beyond proportions. And so we laid down in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know they had places like that in California. California is endless. You get there in the northern part of the state, it's beyond belief how expansive it is. So we're sitting there, and this first flock of geese comes over, and it is huge. I'm just going to estimate somewhere between 200 and 500 geese right in our face. So much down so in my face that I thought some of them were going to scratch me in the face. They were so close to us. And he was saying, don't shoot yet because we're waiting for thousands of their buddies. Well, you should have been there yesterday because that was their one chance, really. We could have grabbed them by the feet, practically, you know, or hit them with a baseball bat instead of a gun. They were so close. But we got a couple anyhow. That said, why am I saying, talking about trivial things? Because, look, we have fun doing those things, watching football or going out and being outside and hunting, but there's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like being amongst the Lord's people. There's nothing like being built up in this ecclesia, as it said, in the church of God. Nothing like it. Nothing compares to this, and we know this. So let's pray here as we start today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you died for us, that you rose again, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, that you're interceding for us even as we speak and as we hear. And we're keenly aware of our need for you to touch the Word of God, for you to open our ears and our mouths, and for us to really have food, Lord, in the basket, so to speak, for so many that are lost out there in the world. And even in the church, Lord, we need food. So we're asking you to feed us, to give us grace, to give us help today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm kind of starting a series on faith. This is the third one if we've been watching the faith is always, of course, faith in Christ, in the person of the Lord Jesus. And last time we spoke that it takes faith to believe that we've died with Christ, as the book of Romans says, to reckon ourselves dead unto sin and be alive unto God. Now, that's a reality. That's a practical reality. But it takes faith to appropriate that. Today we're going to talk about faith in something else. It's still faith in Christ. It all comes from Him, but it's faith to share the Lord Jesus. and how we go about it. And it's not any systematic way we're going to talk about how we go about it, because I believe there is no systematic way that we go about this. But there is a way. And it's, and I'll say it right in the beginning, it's the secret of multiplication of the Lord's life. And we're going to talk about that. So let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 6. Again, keeping this idea in our mind, the secret of multiplication. So we're going to start and we'll read the whole story. We're familiar with it, but I'd like us to read it with a little bit different context today, if possible. And let's start, because I think this is a key verse, chapter 6, beginning in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he, that being Jesus, answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men, not including the men, the women and children. So a huge crowd. And of course, there's the secret of multiplication. So the question, though, that Jesus asked of the disciples, you give them something to eat. Is that a question?
No.
What was it?
It
was a command. Now, I have to say what I think. I think Jesus, if he's the same Jesus, I'm sure you guys have the same experience that I do. Jesus is unpredictable. He keeps you on the edge of your seats. There's a lot of things in the doctrines and the Word of God and the things we trust in. Jesus is very stable. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. But he's unpredictable. He provokes us to think. Just when we get comfortable with life and we think we have things down a certain way, he turns everything up upside the end for the believer. That's how he deals with us. And I think it's one of these kinds of things that he's saying here. He's saying, you give them something to eat. This was not a statement out of, these kinds of things are just not repeated for vanity's sake in the Word of God. You see? But I do think at the time it was an unfair statement. It would come a day that it was fair. And I believe we live in that day where it's a fair statement, where Jesus is saying, you give them something to eat. Now this is repeated, if you don't believe me, go and look. It's repeated in 3 of the 4 Gospels. It's something that stuck in the disciples' minds. They couldn't get it out of their mind. You give them something to eat. Now, really, we see from this picture, who's the only person that can feed the masses beyond any shadow of a doubt? Yeah, the Lord Jesus himself. He's the secret of multiplication. So let's turn. It's not the first time. It had happened in the Old Testament too. Let's in many different ones. I've just chose one here. Let's go to 2 Kings. Chapter 4. Hold on, I should have bookmarked this. Verse 42. Then a man came from Baal Salcia, I guess, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." But his servant said, "What shall I set before this 100 men?" And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them, and they ate, and some had left over, according to the word of the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things here I want to take note of. Careful note of, is that it was the bread... Look at it again. It was the bread of the... What's our key point? I'm not finding it now. Hold on. It was the bread of the first fruits. And that's what I want us to concentrate on. And that they should also eat and have some left over. Again, there's the principle of multiplication of the life of God himself, I believe. And it's the principle that we see. Freely we have received, freely we give. And it's something, sometimes I know, knowing my own personality and the way I'm wired sometimes, is sometimes where I fail miserably on this. You know, there's a freedom in Christ we've been given that we're meant to share with others. And it's one of a multiplied life. Now, I don't understand why people take verses like this and tend to want to speak about money being multiplied. But today I'm going to do the same. Shoot, I knew I couldn't get you on that one. No, I'm not going to do that to you. But in all the stories of the Bible, multiplication of things, you know, and food, in substance, you rarely see money. Although there's one that I can remember, right? When the tax man came to Jesus, right? He went and told Peter to do what?
Go catch a fish
and pull a coin out of its mouth. And that's, we'll pay our taxes with that. And he was using the example that the sons are exempt. And thank goodness, the sons are pretty much exempt in America today. There's something we can be thankful for. The church is pretty much exempt from taxes in the United States of America. That's something we should be grateful for. That might not always be the case. A lot of good things have happened. Hospitals have been built. I could just go on endlessly. There are things that have happened that have been built from the church. But that's not our point today. But the point is I want to look to this idea of the, and we could take, we just don't have time. It's so exhaustive, the Word of God. This is where everyone has to dig on their own. And there should be some digging when we talk about the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of the First Fruits, the different things it's called in the Word of God. It takes a lot of time to spend looking at that. But the key point here is Elisha knew that the Lord had given him this bread and that the Lord could multiply the food. It's the same thing we see when the 5,000 are fed. And it's the picture of Christ Jesus being multiplied to the masses. You see? here is it's being multiplied to the house of God, which we'll talk about, but specifically with Jesus to the masses. But the principle is the same. When Jesus is saying to the disciples, you give them something to eat. Now, the Feast of the First Fruits was the feast, was also called the Feast of Harvest in Exodus. Or in the Jews still celebrate this today, it's called Shavuot in the Hebrew. And actually, it was the first harvest, the spring harvest. And it took place during the Passover celebration. And it culminated with the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the first Sunday following the Sabbath, if you can follow that, as I follow it. And if you want to correct me afterwards, but that's how I think it went. Those 40 days, you see where it comes, the types. How many days did Jesus walk the earth, resurrected? 40 days. And we believe on the 50th day, it says, on the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit was poured out. Yeah. So I'll read from somebody else's. I paraphrase here. The commentator said this: the fulfillment of these feasts is striking, that being of the Feast of Harvests. Jesus died on the Passover week and had to be buried hastily before sunset of when the Sabbath was to begin. His body remained in the grave through the Sabbath day, but on that Sunday morning when the priest was to offer the first fruits offering in the temple, Christ arose from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20 says this: but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So we see that these 10, then there's a 40, then this commentator says, which I already paraphrased, 10 days later, the Sunday of the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers in Jerusalem and created the ecclesia, the called out body of Christ, the church. So we see in here the types of Pentecost. And follow me if you can, because it's a little bit tough here, but there's a few points I want to make about the point about Pentecost here. One of them was is the point that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, that Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's the first fruits of the resurrection. This is something we have to look forward to, the resurrection of the dead, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Again, something we mentioned, the fact that the church was born on that day of Pentecost in a new way before. Of course, there's always believers, but this was with new power and new life in Christ Jesus. But there's something else that happened that day that's very important that we know, that we listen to, I think, daily, and believe. This is where it talks about faith. The Holy Spirit was born in our hearts the moment we believed. This we say too easy, I think, sometimes. It's too easy just to say, can roll off our lips, but it has to be believed as well as accepted. We just talked about earlier how the last message was reckoning yourself dead unto sin, alive unto Christ. This is very much the same. It's by faith we have to take this. But back to the question that Jesus asked. He says, you give them something to eat, because that's what we're considering today. I would say, based on what he was saying, it was an unfair statement that day. It was meant to be a statement that stuck in their mind, that never went away from them. Because on this day, it became a fair question. You give them something to eat. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do we believe that as believers? That we have something to share? with both the lost and the saved. It's Christ himself. It's Christ in the earthen vessel. It's the great privilege of the Christian life, of why we get together. We know this story, but I want to go to it again because it's a natural point in this point. It happened during the 40 days the Lord walked the earth. I want to do it for emphasis. Let's turn to John chapter 21. Which is the end of John. We're going to pick up in verse 15. We've heard this before. May the Lord help it be new to us. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will carry you, will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And we had spoke this, he said to him, follow me. And we know, or most of us have heard it, and I'll say it again, that the word that Jesus uses the first two times when he asks Simon Peter if he loves him is what? What's the word? No. First two times, I believe, is agape. Yes. Yeah, I think you got it backwards. The first two times is agape. So think of the question again. This is before the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Think of Peter's answer. So he asked him twice, Simon Peter, basically, do you have the love of God towards me? Do you have that pure love that's been shed abroad in your heart? And what was Simon Peter's answer? Lord, you know that I phileo you, which is what? I appreciate you. I love you. I have a brotherly love for you. I have a friendship with you. But you know what? Now, instead of Peter saying, when all else will fail you, Lord, what will I do? I won't fail you. Everyone else will, but I won't. That was his answer before. Now he's got a little bit of honest assessment. You know where I am. I'm not hiding anything from you. You know, we just pour out our hearts to the Lord. That's the way it is. There's nothing else. We know that. And there's honest assessment. But again, the question is, Simon Peter, feed my sheep. To the disciples, it says, you give them something to eat. So now he's talking of the church and feeding his sheep. And we could get into a discussion about how some are more shepherds than others. We're not going there today. That's not the message. But I do want us to remember that the conversation took place before Pentecost. I think that's important. Because why would I say that's important? Because now the love of God is where? And what can we say freely? And we can say it, and we can mean it. What can we say freely? I love you, God, with a godly love. I agape you. That's God's mercy in our lives. We hear it. You guys are so full of appreciation of that. Romans 5:5. I love to keep it simple, guys. You know that, listening to me. Romans 5:5, now the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. a fact of the Christian life that also needs faith added to the word fact to believe this. And I really believe this is the picture of the first fruits. And we know that it takes the Holy Spirit to empower our lives as Christians. If we think that we just do it out of our own willpower and strength, we're quite deceived. But there's a principle here. And there's a couple of principles here that I want to talk about. And I'm going to go back and forth with using this word. So again, try to follow. You've heard in business the Peter principle. Mm-hmm. Some of you had. The Peter principle is you can only rise to the level of where you fail. And pretty much that is kind of how things work. And things do work like that in the church to a certain extent. I don't have time to speak about that either, but I believe that is true to a certain extent. But the principle, the new principle of life and multiplication of life, the Lord gives to Peter. He said this, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. And when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. The secret of that multiplication of life is laying down our lives for one another. We know that. The Lord said, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends. That's the principle. And for the Christian, relying on the Holy Spirit, we know this to be very true. But this question that was in the, I believe, was because it was repeated three times in the Gospels. I believe because at the end of the book of John, I believe this principle is very important to know that remember when I did the thing we were talking about being builders in the church? Every man's been given the Holy Spirit, which qualifies every person, woman, and man, and child to be what? A builder in the house of God. So now every person has been given the Holy Spirit to do what? What's part of the building? Feed my sheep. You give them something to eat. When we think of the masses and we go out there every day, we do have something to share. That's Christ we have to share. We don't have ourselves to share, but we have Christ. God has put something in our basket, if you're a believer. He's given us food in the basket, so to speak. But, and I already said it, I think if the Lord's saying to us, what are we going to give them to eat? We're going to come to our wits' end a little bit. As we think about people in the church and people even on the inside, I think it's the Lord's doing sometimes that we come to our wits' end so that we would depend upon Him, right? But what do we give them to eat? Jesus said, we know, I am the true bread that came down out of heaven. But isn't it a privilege? Do we see what a miraculous privilege it is as a Christian to be able to go to the Lord, to get our basket filled, and to distribute it in the world? I mean, that is just crazy exciting, way more than the football games this afternoon. And way more even the geese hunting. That didn't get a laugh. Now, look, we have the good news. And if the world ever needed the good news, it's right now. I mean, it is right now. People are getting scared. We saw what happened this week in France. It might be on our doorstep before we know it. These people are spreading a satanic gospel across the world. Sorry. You don't think, if anybody doesn't believe what I say, that Islam is a satanic gospel, read the end of the book of John right here. Well, it happened to be there. I'm going to read it. I didn't even plan to, but here we are. No, not John. Revelation. Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. If anyone adds to these things, they're saying the book, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from which things are written in this book. So this book is sealed. This is book in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gospel is sealed. God in his last days has spoken to us through his Son, and we're not ashamed to say that, that there's no other answer, but it is an answer to this lost world. And, you know, we could go out there, and, like they do kind of on the Rose Parade, and preach that every man, woman, and child is going to go to hell, separate from the love of Christ. Is that true? Well, not quite true. Children, of course, we believe, according to the Word of God, that there's an age of innocence. But there also comes an age of accountability. But we can't go out there and force that news on anybody. It just doesn't work. But what Jesus said, which I think is amazing, if we take it at what he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Now we know it says right there where it's repeated, and I didn't write it down, but it says he spoke of the death, you know, if he be lifted up on the cross, is what it says. And we have the good news of the gospel. The drawing power of canceled sin in a lost world. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is a miracle. But when we think of sharing Christ, another verse comes to mind, one that we are familiar with. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So an intricate part of filling that basket, of having food in the basket, is then got to be what? You know the answer. Somebody say it. Reading God's Word. It has to be. If we're going to have food. This is one of the ways that the Lord multiplies fish and multiplies food in the basket. Now, my wife recently spoke to, last week, she spoke to a dear sister who said she's reading the Bible and she's not getting anything out of it. At least there's some honest assessment. She's listening to some of the messages on our website, and she's not getting anything out of it. It's dead unto her. Wow. But you know what's missing? She's completely out of fellowship with the Lord's people, even so much so that she ridicules the Lord's people sometimes. And see the elements there? Breaking of bread, the preaching of God's word, the meeting together in the household of God, the ecclesia, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit amongst God's people. She's missing an integral part of that picture. And so really, we're praying for her. She has to, by a miracle, get back into fellowship. But also something else is needed. When we come up against those dry times of life and we feel we don't have any food in the basket, it's empty. Sometimes, and I'm sorry I've got to say this, honest assessment takes a little bit of repentance. Just be an honest assessment, like with Peter, and saying, Lord, here I am, take me. There's a lot of stuff wrong, but you can use me. You've given me your Holy Spirit. You've gifted me to be a builder in your house. You want to fill this basket with food. Help me. Now, there's another verse when we're talking about the principle of multiplication. It's we have to get near to the Lord. We have to seek the Lord. There's a lot of things the Lord wants us to do to participate, to be able to have food in that basket. It just doesn't go by osmosis. We just don't go out there to the furthest corner of the desert and throw our basket off to the side and ask the Lord for him to fill it. Right? Even the children of Israel couldn't do that. What did they have to do? They had to go and collect it. Right? But the principle still is one of multiplication. And this verse, though so familiar, hit me with new power these last few weeks as I've been studying for this ministry. And something so simple, but that the Lord says in John 7:38 again, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, what? You guys know it. Most of us have it memorized here. What?
Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
There's the Holy Spirit again. There's the birth of the church. But there's the reality. God said it. It's true. This is where it takes faith, guys, for all of us. Every one of us have to climb some mountains in a certain way because the devil's fed us. The devil's pretty good. I have to admit, I'm going to give him his due here. He's good at deceiving. There's nobody better. He's way smarter than us. He's got us in knots a lot of times. And it's always the same. We see it in the Genesis in the garden. In the garden, we saw that the tree was good for food, right? Half-truth. In 1 John, the equivalent of that would be the lust of the flesh. In Genesis 3, the devil said, look, this is pleasant for the eyes. Again, in 1 John, where it's called the lust of the eyes. Genesis 3, it was seen that the tree was desirable to make one wise. 1 John, the pride of life. It's the same thing. It's the same trick. There's nothing new under the sun, but we have something way greater than the devil, the world, or the flesh. So far greater. That cross far exceeds any of those. It's not even a I don't know. There's no way to exaggerate it, how far it is. I mean, we'll find out about this through eternity, I think. I'm fairly certain, looking at the Word of God, that the sacrifice of Christ Jesus will be an everlasting, almost, revelation to our hearts. And it's the principle of Pentecost, is that the Holy Spirit that is in us, we've been sealed. It's God's done deal in our lives. But we have to take it by faith to have a basket full of food, so to speak. But the principle, we called it the Peter principle, is the same of what the Lord told Peter when he said, feed my sheep. It's basically laying down our lives for one another. Or, and the sake of the people in the world, it's having some food in the basket for them to share. Now, when the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men to myself, we've got to take God at his word on that when it comes to witnessing. We've got to take God at his word that he's drawing that person, no matter how antagonistic they seem towards Christianity. In fact, that might be part of the whole plan. Sometimes the more antagonistic ones, my dad was, before he became a Christian, he used to curse at me and Jan sometimes. about sharing the gospel. But he was close at that time. I didn't know it. He was close to responding to the gospel. So we've got to believe and take Jesus at his word when we go out there in the world that he is really drawing every man, woman, and child we come in contact. That gives us a lot different perspective that the Lord's already gone ahead of us. The Lord ever, it says that the Lord ever lives to make intercession for us. It means, I believe, before we ever got up in the morning and came here, the Lord's interceding for his beloved children. So he's always ahead of us. And I think also, something I want to say about what the Lord said, that if I be lifted up from the cross, I will draw all men to myself. I think what he's saying is that is my crowning victory. When he sat on that cross and when he died, he said it is what? Finished. And it really, I believe, was always God's first choice. There's nothing else we can preach from the Word of God except some crazy, convoluted story out of the Bible that this is God's second choice, you know, that Jesus was meant to reign first and that this is his second choice. It's just not true. So as we go out in the world, all we can really do as believers is not talk about what great people we are, because that would be missing the mark. So what's our theme as we share? We can only share Christ. We'll only put the food that the Lord's already put in the basket for us. But it is meant to lay down and to give to one another. And I believe the Lord is drawing and tries to draw every man, woman, and child through that cross, through the love of Christ to this lost world. But I believe, again, as we're looking at today's message, when the Lord is saying, you give them something to eat, I believe he's saying that he's giving every one of us something that we can share. Now, we might not think it's a lot. We might think Pastor so-and-so or whoever's speaking or whatever, that's a lot. Oh, boy. No, it's we know what does the Lord say? On that last day when people come, we're going to come before him and say, hey, look, this here's a reward for you. You gave a cup of water to this person that believes in me eventually. Things that we had no idea of that were significant from a heavenly perspective are significant in God's eyes. Things we don't even see sometimes, things we do maybe on a daily basis, things we need to be asking the Lord to show us. What can I feed these people with? Lord, I don't have the means to do this. I don't have $1 million, so to speak. But I don't believe there's any coincidence in the principle of multiplication that was in 2 Kings. The principle of multiplication where the Lord fed the 5,000, or the principle of multiplication after the day of Pentecost, which have all their types in the Lord Jesus, of us having something to share with a lost world. And I really believe it is our great privilege and vocation to have something to share with this world as it's decaying and lost right now, as it is trying to make sanity out of an insane world. We really do have power in our basket, so to speak. We really do, and we have to take God at his word. We really do have, even if it doesn't feel like it, we really do have rivers of living water that are flowing out of our lives. Think of that. What a privilege we have. So, thank you, and let's sing the last verse of 184.